Blog Talk Radio.
Well, they build their houses in preparation for the king, and they line the sidewalks with every sort of shiny thing. They will be surprised when they hear him say, take me to the alley, take me to the afflicted ones, take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table, rest here in my garden. You will have a pardon. Take me to the alley, take me to the afflicted ones, take me to the lonely ones that somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table, rest here in my garden. You will have a pardon.
Shabbat Shalom, family. Shabbat Shalom. This is Yahweh from Beth Yahweh Camp with another installment of Can It Be That Simple? As always, remind you to grab your Bibles, grab your pencils, your pads, and take notes as we go through the night session. And the night session's title is, and it is written. I'm going to start off with a beginning with a brief prayer. Merciful Father Yah, as we come before thee on thy holy Shabbat day, we thank thee for protecting us throughout the course of this week and giving us an opportunity to sup with you on this Sabbath night. We ask of thee to open our minds, give us understanding of the words that are going to be brought out tonight. We also ask of thee to cleanse us with thy word and strengthen us with thy word. As always, we give you praise and we give you honor. In the name of Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, soon coming King. Amen. As I said earlier, the topic of tonight is, it is written. But before we get into that, I'm going to jump right into some definitions. The definitions are basically coming from the term written from the Greek, which is the New Testament scriptures. Because one of the things that I'm attempting to do throughout the course of this session is to go from the New Testament, something that was written, or the term it is written, and find the spot in the old scriptures to support what was written, to show that the things that were being taught and spoken about during the quote-unquote New Testament were actually references from the old scriptures. So showing that there was nothing really new being given. It was just things that were already said being reiterated or taken to another level. So first we're going to start with the term written. And it's 1125 in your Greek lexicon, and it's grapho, and it means to write. Short definition, I write, describe, and write. Pass, written. It stands, written. And then parentheses, it has scriptures. But then when you read the definition, it says primary verb, to grave, especially to write. Figuratively, to describe, writing. So I looked the word grave up in the dictionary, and it's a transitive verb meaning to dig, excavate, to carve or shape with a chisel, sculpture, to carve out, to cut into a hard surface, to impress or fix, as in a thought, a memory, etc., deeply. So when we go through these scriptures tonight and it says and it is written, let's bear in mind these definitions, being impressed or fixed upon the minds of the people. Because as we know, when they say heart, it's actually talking about your thinking. So these things are being impressed on the mind. As we know, these things are also been written on pieces of paper. As we know, back in the day or back in the old scriptures, you know, things were written on stone, things were written on wood. So, and then writing those things on those particular types of elements like the wood and the stone, you had to engrave them. You had to work to put these words down. So, it was effort put into having these words to be remembered. But we also have to be mindful that when information was passed on to our ancestors, and this is, they passed them down first by word of mouth, from father to son, son to son, mother to daughter, daughter to daughter, you know, grandmother to granddaughter. Things was passed down verbally. Then later down the line, you know, things begin to be written. And in light of that, one of the things that throughout the course of the week, I had an opportunity to listen to a discussion. And one of the things that came to my mind in listening to this discussion is that one of they were not using scripture to support some of the things that they were saying. And one of the things that I've learned over the years, and when you reading scripture and studying scripture, you know, you want to use scripture to support scripture. Because we're in a time where a lot of information is available, and people want to use outside sources to support the Bible or support the scriptures or support the things that the scriptures say that are outside of the scriptures. And sometimes people get caught up in those things and they go astray. I think in one of the earlier sessions we talked about how, you know, Israel got dismayed. Israel got caught up in what other people were doing. And that's no different today, where people are striving to keep Torah, keep the ways of the Most High, but they then got caught up in the ways of the world. And they try to incorporate the ways of the world within the Father's way. And that's not proper. And even in his word, he says that. We're going to start off with that scripture that I came across. And it's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. And it reads, "You should not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh, your Elohim, which I command you." And this is Moshe talking. So a lot of times, you know, we get into certain things and people want to take away from the word of the Most High, or they want to add to it. You know, a lot of times when we look at some of the things that were added were traditions. And sometimes people get caught up in these traditions and try to relate them to the scriptures. But then within these traditions, they're actually going contrary to what the scriptures say. So when they're going contrary, then they're taken away from it. You know, if they're doing something and it's in light of what the scriptures say, then you're right on point. But if it deviates either to the left or to the right, then you're not following the scriptures. You're now following the dictates in which you are putting in place. Another scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32, and it's on the same order, and it reads, "Whatever thing I command you that you shall observe to do, you shall not add thereto nor diminish from it." So this is another, you know, Moshe is reiterating to the people of Israel that do not add to the word of the Most High. Do not take away from the word of the Most High. Because, you know, this is a little statement that I say, fair exchange is no robbery. So what are you saying? Hey, look, you do as I ask, boom, you're going to get what you deserve. You don't do what I ask, then you're going to get what you deserve. And so now we're going to go to another scripture on that same line. And this is based on this conversation that I heard. And then we're going to get into, and it's written. But this is also written also. So we have to then pay attention to these things also. And it says, Proverbs 30, verse 6. Another one says, "Do not you add to his word, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar." So right here, just reiterating, if you don't do what the Father say, if you add to his word, he's going to correct you. And if you come up with some tradition or some custom and you're saying it comes from the word, what is he going to do? He said, "I'm going to make you a liar because I'm going to show you that you're out of the will. You're out of my word." Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24. And it says, "Yahweh of armies has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it happen. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand." So this is Yahweh letting us know that if it's his thought and if it's something that he wants to happen, it's going to happen. Why? Because He's not a man that he shall lie. Same book, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, and it says, "Are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh." So right here, we get into the understanding that our thoughts are not the Father's thoughts. The plan that the Father has is not our plan. Even though we may think that we know his plan, we don't know his plan. We don't know it unless he reveals it to us. And the way he's going to reveal it to us, as the scriptures say, through his prophets, they're going to reveal it to us. Through that spirit, that's going to reveal it to us. That means we have to be diligent in his word so that he can reveal these things to us through his spirit. And then I'm going to understanding the nature of man, because I have to show the comparison how mankind is not like the Father. Mankind is not like Yahushua. And it reads in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart." We did a study recently on the heart, meaning his mind, his thinking, was only evil continually. So understanding that these men that are out here coming up with these traditions based on the scriptures, they mean you no good, because they are not in line with the scriptures. They are not being supported by the scriptures. If they're being supported by the scriptures, then they're on point. But if not, then what did he say about the heart of man or the thoughts of man? Evil continually. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. Some of you may be familiar with this scripture. And it says, "The heart, as we said before, is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it?" And it says, "I, Yahweh, searches the mind. I try the heart," or "I try the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." So, as you know, there's another scripture, I believe, that says, "You reap what you sow." So if a man is sowing evil seed, he's going to get an evil harvest, and he's going to get the reward of an evil harvest. If a man is sowing good seeds, he's going to get a good harvest, and he's going to get the rewards of having a good harvest. So these are some thoughts that came to my mind when I was listening to this conversation between gentlemen coming from two different spectrums. And they both were, you know, they were saying that they were Israelites. And, you know, one of the things that what comes to my mind is, you know, if we call ourselves Israelites, and that we're keeping Torah and we're keeping the Holy Scriptures, I mean, we have to be in line with them. It's, you know, we have to be in line with these words that the Father has put out there to us. And we have to be on one accord, and we have to speak the same things. So now we're going to get into lesson of the night, and we're going to go on to the next scriptures. Go on to Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. And it reads, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient time, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Remember earlier we said, you know, the Father said that everything is going to happen according to his plan, and his plan will stand. So when from there, I went to Romans chapter 15, verse 4, and it says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through patience and through encouragement of the scriptures, we may have hope." So this is, you know, the scripture that I linked with this one, the first one, Isaiah, because it's saying everything written before time was written for our learning. So these things saying that when we go through the scriptures and we learn the scriptures and we apply the scriptures as the Father tells us, what are we going to do? We're going to have hope. Why? We're going to gain patience. Why? Because the scriptures are constantly encouraging us to have hope. Because the men and the women that were striving to keep Yahweh's law, statutes, and judgments before us did some things, experienced some things, and some things were written down by the inspiration of the Father. To have these men and women write things down for our learning today. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, and it says, He humbled you, and in your hunger gave you manna to eat, which neither you nor your fathers had known, so that you might understand that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that come forth will come from the mouth of Yahweh. And I matched that up with Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And it reads, But he answered, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah. So these are different, you know, so far we have read some scriptures that are actually supporting each other in different times in which these scriptures were written. So when we are talking about the scriptures today, we can utilize these scriptures to support the point that we're trying to convey to the person in which we're speaking, because these things are already written, and the things that we're conveying have already been conveyed. But it's just showing that humanity has not changed. You have that faithful few. And another thing that comes to my mind, you know, we have a number of groups out here, and they're calling themselves Israel. But then we have to understand the true Israel. See, because the true Israel is striving and doing the will of the Most High. They're going through the words, and they're learning of the Most High. They're learning the word so that they can see themselves as an example to those who see them, so that they can be a light to those that are in darkness, because their purpose is to be one with the Father through the Son. I mean, they've taken on the Son, because as we know, the Father sees the Son. The Father loves the Son, and that's what we want. We want the same love being shown to us, and He shows that love to us. But do we reciprocate that love to Him? Because what we have to do is through the word that we can cleanse ourselves of the evil ways. But we also have the choice whether or not we want that or not. Isaiah 51, verse 17, and it reads, says, Awake, awake, stand up, Jerusalem, that have drunk at the hand of Yahweh the cup of wrath. You have drunken the bowl of the cup of staggering and drained it. Then it reads, then I went to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. And it reads, For we don't have a high priest who can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who has been in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So this is understanding that we as humanity have taken that cup. We are sinful, and we have felt the wrath of the Most High. And we felt the wrath of the Most High, why? Because of our disobedience. Our disobedience has caused this. But we know, and as you study the word, the Messiah, Yahushua, He came down in the form of a man and took on the infirmities of man and did not sin. And it's because of this, we have been given an opportunity to make it into the kingdom if we believe and understand what He has done for us as humanity. From there, I went to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, and it reads, Then Yahushua was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So right here, just letting you know off the bat, and this scripture is when we deal with this particular time, this is right after the Holy Spirit came down upon him. And then he went into the wilderness and was tempted by the adversary. So this is, you know, just going back to the previous scripture, saying how he was touched in all points. Luke chapter 22, verse 41 to 42. And it reads, he was withdrawn from them about a stone throw and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done. What cup is he talking about? He's talking about that cup of wrath. He's talking about that cup of staggering. You know why? Because all of the infirmities of humanity was on him. He was on him. And at the same time, he was about to lay his life down to humanity. And the humanity aspect of him was rising up. It was rising up in him. And he went to the Father and asked for the Father, hey, Father, hey, I'm going to read it again. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. You know, but that was the Father. He was asking the Father, hey, remove this cup from me if it's your will. He said, nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done. And sometimes we have to do that. We have to put our feelings aside, put our selfish desires to the side, and do the will of the Father. But that's if you love the Father. And that's if you believe in what the Son has done, Yahushua. That's if you believe in that thing. That's if you believe in what is written. See, because nowadays we have people challenging the word of the Most High and trying to say that the word of the Most High is not valid. Oh, that's just a translation. Oh, that's just man's will. But it's not man's will. Because as we read earlier, man's thinking is deceitful. See, man lies to himself and thinks that he's telling himself the truth. Man is quick to lie to the next man to make himself look good. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and it reads, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathite, being small among the clans of Yehuda, out of you one will come forth to me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. And it reads, this is Matthew chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And it reads, they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written through the prophets, you, Bethlehem, land of Yehuda, are in no way less among the princes of Yehuda. For out of you shall come forth a governor who shall shepherd my people, Israel. So this is just something that was foretold by the prophets and made manifest through Yahushua. Joshua, chapter 23, verse 14. And it reads, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your heart and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which Yahweh your Elohim spoke concerning you. All are come to pass to you, and not one thing hath failed of it. And I went to, from there, I went to Matthew chapter 26, verse 24. And it reads, The Son of Man goes, even as it is written of himself. But woe to the man through whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had not been born. So with this, it took me here because, you know, you had a man who his purpose was to deceive them, was to portray our Savior. That was his plan. That was his job. And the Most High put that in motion for that purpose. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Excuse me, family. I need my glasses now. It says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of good, who publishes salvation, who say in Zion, your Elohim reigns. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And it reads, how will they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, who bring glad tidings and good things. We have to be mindful of, you know, learning that word. Because in our time, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Taking that good news out there to the world. Want to go make a reference to the song that we started the day off with. Take me to the alley. You know, take me to the world. Take me to the people that need my assistance. And see, and that's one of the reasons why we have to understand and learn the word. So that we can be the living word, just like Yahushua was. So that when we go to the people, we can heal the people. We can give the people what they want or what they need. Not what they want, but what they need. And what they need is a connection with the Most High. What they need is a connection to the Torah. So that they too can feel the love of the Most High. So they too can understand that the Most High loves them also. Because mankind has been deceived so bad that we have people out here who don't even love themselves, let alone love the next person. When in the earlier scripture we read, it says, Most High is talking to Cain, and he said, ask him where was his brother. And he says to the Most High, he says to Yahweh, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are our brother's keeper. We're supposed to be concerned about our brother, showing him love as we love ourselves, as we love ourselves. And if we love ourselves and we love the Most High, then what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to show that same love to that next brother and give him the good tidings. Give him the good news of Yahushua. How he laid his life down for our infirmities so that we can have an opportunity to make it back into the garden, so that we can have a taste of everlasting life. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23, and it reads, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and will not return, that to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall take an oath. And from there, I went to Romans chapter 14, verse 11, and it reads, for it is written, as I live, saith Yahweh, to me every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess to Yah. So this is something that has been passed down. This is prophecy being taught. Because that is the goal. The goal is to meet the Father. The goal is to meet the Father. The goal is to be part of the family. And as the scriptures say, one of the scriptures say, you know, my people keep my Sabbath. My people keep my law, statutes, and judgments. But the ultimate sign is keeping the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath. Why? Because through the Sabbath, first, you're meeting with the Most High, because these are the times in which he said he's going to meet with you. And also, when through studying the different Sabbaths, you come to understand different things that the Father is telling us in the Sabbaths that we keep. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And it reads, "In the days of those kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall its sovereignty be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms and shall stand forever." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. And it reads, "Then the end comes, when he will deliver up the kingdom to Yahweh, the kingdom to Yah, even the Father, when he will have abolished all rule and all authority and all power." So this is talking about Yahushua coming and destroying this world system and abolishing that power and abolishing that authority and abolishing that rule. And then the kingdom of the Father will be here on earth. Genesis chapter 41, verse 4. And it reads, "You shall be over my house, and according to your word will all my people be ruled. Only in the throne I will be greater than you." And that took me to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And it reads, "Yahushua came to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So this, you know, these scriptures in Genesis is just talking about how Yahushua was going to have authority, a great authority. And as we know, with his death and his resurrection, and he went up into the heavens, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, and it reads, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws in their inward parts and in their heart will I write it. And I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people." There's that word heart again. As we know, understanding, they're thinking. So he's talking about how he's going to write it in on our thinking. It's going to change. He's going to put his laws there. Because we know this is talking about, you know, as he said, a new covenant. Because the first covenant was written on stone. And because it was written on stone, people was just killing goats and birds and sacrifices. But now he's talking about, now, no, I'm going to put it inside you. So that now you know that you're breaking the law. You know that you're not being a servant to me. So that you can correct yourself. Judge yourself now. So that you won't be judged later. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. And it reads, "Being revealed that you are a letter of Yahushua served by us, written not with ink, but with the spirit of the living Elohim, not in tablets of stone, but in tablets that are hearts of flesh." Just to reiterate, talking about this covenant, that he was going to write on our hearts or on our minds, is being reiterated. And so I've been here before, and at the end, when we talk about different things, I made a reference, I think in previous session, in regards to one of those books that call them historical books. You know, some of these books have slants. And this is just a reference to, you know, this particular book. It's called The Forgotten Books of Eden. And I'm going to read chapter 14. If you're familiar with that book, you can go to it, but search it out. But it's, you know, I really like this particular chapter and these particular verses. It's like five verses, but it points to something great, and it's supported by the scriptures. And it reads, and the subtitle that it has under it says, "The Earliest Prophecy of the Coming of the Messiah." And it reads, it says, "Then Adam saw God, O Lord, that thou soul, that my soul, and let me not see this gloom anymore, or remove me to some place where there is no darkness. But God, Elohim, said, Adam, verily I say unto thee, this darkness will pass from thee. Every day I have determined for thee until the fulfillment of my covenant, when I will save thee and bring thee back again into the garden, into the abode of the light. Thou longest for, wherein is no darkness, I will bring thee to it, in the kingdom of heaven. Again said God unto Adam, all this misery that thou hast been made to take upon thee because of thy transgression will not free thee from the hand of Satan, and will not save thee. But I will, when I shall come down from heaven and shall become flesh of thy seed, and take upon me the infirmity from which thou sufferest. Then the darkness that came upon thee in this cave shall come upon me in the grave, when I am in the flesh of thy seed. And I, who am without years, shall be subject to the reckoning of years, of time, of months, and of days. And I shall be reckoned as one of the sons of men in order to save thee." This is coming from the Forgotten Books of Eden. So, many people tend to wonder, where does the whole story or the idea of salvation come from? It comes from the Most High having a conversation with Adam, telling him that, yeah, you messed up, but I'm going to make a way for you to come back into the garden. It's nothing that you can do that can get you back there. Only thing, I can get you back there. We read in the scripture about his plan and his purpose that the Most High has done. This was his plan and this was his purpose, to make a way for Adam to make it back into the garden. And the way he did it is by laying his life down for Adam. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. And it reads, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought our peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed." That's Isaiah 53, verse 5. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And it reads, "Who his own self bore our sin in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." So one, and this comes back to going back to that conversation that I had an opportunity to listen to this week. One of the things that I noticed that through listening to that conversation. No one ever made mention of the Messiah. No one made a mention of a mediator. They were just making mention of customs and things that they were doing to show that they were different. Israel, it's not about showing that you're different. It's about showing the unity that you have with the Most High and the relationship that you have with the Son so that you can have a relationship with the Father. Because we see that it's through the Son that all things are possible for us, for humanity, for the world. Because that's what he did. He came and saved the world and all things that are in it. Because we know in the beginning, Adam had dominion over everything, but he lost it. But Yahushua came and regained that authority. And it's through the belief in Yahushua and understanding who Yahushua is and understanding how the word teaches about him in various places, in various, not want to say, practices that we do as believers in the Most High. The things that the Word tells us that we must do, and we do them based on what he says. Like one of the things that we come to realize that, first of all, we have to believe that the Word is true. And as they say, the narrative. Because it's through studying the narrative and breaking the words down and going to the original tongue that we understand more about the Word. And the more we understand about the Word, the more we can understand about ourselves and our state. And the more we understand about ourselves and our state, that gives us an opportunity to change. Because now once it's in your face and you realize that, hey, my thoughts are wicked. Even if I believe that I'm doing a great thing, my thoughts are still wicked. I think it's a scripture to talk that compares man's righteousness to a filthy rag. You know, and a filthy rag is what it is, a filthy rag. But that doesn't mean you don't strive to keep the law, statutes, and judgments. That don't mean you don't do them. Like we read earlier, we don't add nothing and we don't take away from it. Because that's what he's looking at. What comes to my mind is just like in the past, I mean, and as a teacher, I mean, I remember helping my teacher in school with helping her grade papers. And she would have this guide that she would give me to put over the paper that had the right answers already marked in. You know, and that's what the Torah is for us. That's what it is. It's a guide that you lay yourself, that you lay on top of you, and you compare to see what you are, where you line up at. And if you don't line up, then that means that's a place where you have to fix. But also, is written where it shows is written about Job, and how with Job, it was things that he wanted to pull up out of Job, so he put Job in various situations. That's the same thing that he's doing with us. He's doing the same thing with us as believers in him, testing us through his word, seeing if we love him, see if we have patience, see if we're taking on the fruit of the Spirit and using those fruits of the Spirit to overcome the works of the flesh. So Israel, put forth the greatest effort to improve your relationship with the Father through the Son. Sharing that good news with those who are in darkness. One question that was put out throughout the course of the week was, you know, how do you talk to people, you know, out there? We have to first listen, you know, as he tells us, Shema. Listen attentively to what's going on, to a person that wants to talk with you. Listen to them. And then the next thing one of the brothers put out there was, we have to also pray. We have to also pray that the Father gives us the words that he wants spoken to this individual. We have to step aside and allow ourselves to become vehicles. Just like Yahushua did. He allowed himself to be a vehicle. And in that process, we have been given an opportunity to take of the tree of life. So, just to reiterate the title, it is written, and that's what we have to stand on, that it is written. What Yahweh say is true. And Yahweh don't need some scholar to support him or to verify him or to validate him, because he's already sent people or sent men down that were witnesses for him. And we read the scriptures and they witness to us. And as we keep the laws, statutes, and judgments, then we become witnesses to those who see us. We're witnessing to the witness. We are witnessing about what what our witness showed us. We become the living word again. So that was Yahushua, the living word. So I wrote this down this time. About to conclude, got this note down here, ending prayer. I apologize for last week. Got off the air without doing an ending prayer. I apologize for that. But I made a little note to myself today that I won't just get off air. But hopefully these past sessions, as you link them together, hopefully they bring out a nice picture of the Word of the Most High to you. Or maybe he even gave you an opportunity to say, never thought about it that way. And allow you to build on it to make you a better servant, a better, you know, soldier. You know, because another question that was put out to us throughout the course of the week is, when the Messiah come back, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? Why are we doing these things? Why are we studying Torah? Why are we being obedient to the Word? Sometimes, these are questions that you can ask yourself. But it is written. In Israel, he has called people out in the beginning. And if you have been called, then, as Yahushua said, he who has an ear, let him hear. Let him hear attentively, and may he follow the Lamb wherever he shall go. As it was written in the old scriptures, of the cloud by day and the fire by night. They was following that spirit throughout the wilderness. And that's where we are now. We're in the wilderness now. We're going through this world system. And he gave us the God, the scriptures. He gave us the testimony of the prophet. Now we're going to be testimonies to other people. So I'm going to end right here. I'm going to end with a prayer. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to be a vessel for you on this Shabbat night. May the words that you allowed me to speak on this evening touch the mind, of those who are listening. May the words that I've spoken tonight break up some of that ground to those who needed ground broken. May these words be a seed to those who are willing to walk in the ways of the Most High. May these words be like water to those who have seeds that are in the ground, waiting to be nourished. And in all, may Yah, through the Son, Yahushua, give you the increase to bring you closer to Him. May we all have a peaceful slumber. We ask of Thee, O Father, to continue to protect us in our conscious mind and help us protect us in our unconscious mind. May we stand for Your word at all times, Father. May we represent Thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, through His spilled blood, that You have given me an opportunity to take from the tree of life. Or for us, as Israel, take from the tree of life. Father, we thank Thee once again, choosing us, walking Your ways and walking Your truth. In the name of Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, soon coming King, we pray. Amen.